can't remember the words.
Uh-oh. Thanks, man.
Wow. Everybody good? Anybody as hot as I am? My Lord, I'm up here sweating. Huh? It's conviction. Paul says I'm sweating because of conviction, which is probably true. What are you doing here? Good morning. How are you? Y'all doing well? Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Everybody having a good time so far this morning? Did you bring any Snicker bars? Anybody bring a Snicker bar? You're going to need it in about 45 minutes. You're going to wish you had one because I'm still going to be rolling, you know. And we didn't plan any food today, did we, Paul? I don't think we did. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is going to be a recap of everything that I've said the last few times I've been up here and everything that we've done on Wednesday nights. It's just going to be more of the same. And why I keep landing here, I don't know. So somebody need to pay attention and listen so I can move on to something else, okay? Whomever it is that's not getting it, let's get it today. Amen? That's our plan. That's what we're going to do. Is it Joel? It's either Joel or me. Where'd Joel go? He left. Yeah, of course. Joel's not here, so I'm going to have to do it again next time. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Yep. Verse 6. Let's get up there. Look at that. There it is. Good job. But without faith, it's what? Really, really hard? But if you try hard enough, you could get there, right? No, that's not what it says. Like, all right, if you give enough, then it's okay. No. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I saw something the other day before Paul and I talked about me preaching this morning. I saw something on this scripture I ain't never seen before. And I've read this thing a million times over. A million times over. But I saw something and I wasn't expecting it. It just kind of slapped me across the face, you know? You ever get slapped across the face? But without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten a reward for doing nothing? Is there ever a reward out there for doing nothing? No, so the scripture is indicating to us that you got to do what? Something. This is a do something scripture all day long. That's trying to tell you how faith works. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. What? A rewarder of what? A rewarder of what we do. Look at this thing. Oh, y'all ain't ready. Dadgummit.
I'm ready.
Reward. The noun. It's a noun. It can be used as a noun and a verb. Y'all know the difference between the two? We got it? I'm getting some of these. I'm really worried because we're all graduated from high school or almost, you know. Now, we all left elementary school, noun and verb. We know the difference, right? If you use the word as a noun, which is a person, place, or a thing, it is a thing given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. You got to do something for that thing to work. As a verb. If you're going to give a reward, it's a reward for the thing. It's a verb. It's an action. It's movement. The word reward as a verb right here. Make a gift of something to someone in recognition of their service, efforts, or achievement. Huh? It works both ways. It's the exact same effect. And the word reward does not come into action. Nor does it come into being, a person, place, or thing, without some type of service. Service, action, something has to move behind it for the word reward to actually start to operate. He said that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. They are active in going after God. The Bible says that we live by faith. We don't live by believing. We don't live by sitting on our tail and doing nothing. We don't live by just sitting back and going to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night. That's not how faith works. We live by faith. It is something that we do. This thing that we're talking about, Christianity, is not a church deal. It is a life deal. It is something that we live, breathe, we speak it, we say it, we think about it, we eat it. We digest it on a daily basis because it is who we are. We live by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus. It is our job, responsibility to live by this faith. We're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to do. Tiggers bounce. Believers believe. Christians walk in faith. They walk in faith. They walk in it. Do it all the time. Man, somebody got to get up and do something. James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go there. My good. Do y'all have the New Century Version? Yeah, put that one up there. New Century Version. Is that it? That is it. Yep. Uh-huh. My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith, but do what? Their faith is worth nothing. See, a believer, a Christian that don't do nothing, their faith, what'd it say? What'd it say their faith was? Worth nothing. That's because the faith doesn't exist without some sort of action behind it. You can say you believe all day long, but if you don't act upon it, nothing happens. Can I have this chair? All right, I'm going to take this chair. Y'all got some drinks up in here? There we go. Thank you. Got to get somebody all the way from Houston to help me. Yeah, that's right. All right, y'all ready? Faith. Here goes. I believe that this chair is going to hold me up. I believe it. 100%. I'll even tell you, guess what? You know what? That chair is going to hold me up. I believe it. It's going to hold me up. That chair, man, I sure am tired. I feel like I need to take a seat. I certainly do. That chair's going to hold me up. It's going to hold me up. I believe it. Dang, I'm tired. Dang. I sure do wish that God would let me have a seat. I sure do wish he'd provide a chair that holds me up, because I believe that chair's going to hold me up. Y'all getting me here. I'm saying it, and I believe it, but there ain't no action. So you can't. I ain't proved to myself yet. Ain't no proof happened that this chair is going to hold my tail up. Right? So, faith. Y'all ready? Ready? This is it. This is the best object lesson I come up with on faith. You ready? One, two, three. You move based on what you believe a thing to be. You remember Peter. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Why? He believed he could. And he moved on it like it was a fact. Not that it was a wish or a hope. I wasn't sitting down because I was hoping the chair would hold me up. I was sitting down because I knew the chair would hold me up. Whenever we move on what God tells us to do, we don't move hoping he's going to be there. We move knowing he's going to be there and meet us every time. Amen? Faith is simple. It's simple. We don't try to make it hard. Man, faith that does nothing is nothing. Verse 15, a brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. I can't keep up with y'all. I'm going to go down here. If you say to that person, God be with you. I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you've not given that person that what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. And let's think about this for just a minute. How many times have we done that? You know, I'm really in a bad spot, man. I just really having a tough time right now. I'm just like, dude, yeah, man. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Seriously. That's our answer. Yeah, I'll pray for you. It's become such an answer from the church that people expect it from us. So they just come up to you and they know you're a church person. Say, I'm in a real bad spot. I need to have some food and I need a place to stay. And I need. Will you pray for me? And is there something wrong with prayer? Absolutely not. So don't even go there. Some of y'all thinking, well, you don't like prayer. No. I think prayer is awesome. I love prayer. But prayer that doesn't have any action behind it has no faith attached to it. Now it's not being pleasing to God. Nothing's happening. We're just praying. Nothing's happening. Why not? Because we won't move. Will you pray for me? I'll be happy to pray for you. But then here's a 20. Now I have initiated my faith in that person's life to help them get to where God needs them to be. Simple. Simple. What does it say if you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but don't give them nothing? Your words are worth nothing. Verse 17, I don't even know what it says. We're just going to keep going. Isn't this fun? In the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. My goodness, how many times does God have to tell us that? Verse 18, someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. See, in the Bible's very specific that we are not justified by our works. And the church world has tried to do that for years. There's so many different denominations out there that have tried to come up with the super califragilistic, expialidocious way of becoming a Christian and getting into the kingdom. They go, work your way, you got to do this, and then you do that, and then you do this, and then you do that, and then you do this, and then you do that, and then maybe you might get there. It's just whether it's God's will or not. And they've taken this that James is trying to talk about, and they've turned it into some form of attempting to justify ourselves to God. We don't have to justify ourselves to God. Jesus did that. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Go read it. He has made us righteous. You are sitting there righteous today. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're 100% righteous. You're seated in the heavenly realms, right, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, at the right hand of God right now. That is your position. That's where you are. You can't earn it. That's why the Ten Commandments was here. The Ten Commandments was sent here so you could find out, hey, I can't do all this stuff. I need somebody to help me. His name was Jesus. He done it for you. Then he gave you his place. You don't have to work to get it. You just got to believe and act upon it. So these works that we're talking about, we're not trying to say that these works and these deeds that they're talking about are something to justify you. They're something that you do because you're already justified. It's what you're supposed to do. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, the Bible says. What are those good works? Those good works are going out there and spreading the kingdom by being nice to people and doing things for them and operating in our faith. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. I don't even have to tell you I got faith. You can watch me and see it happen. You can see it happen. Why? Because I'm willing to step out. Whenever it looks like I'm not supposed, when it looks different, when it looks strange, when it looks like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm going to do? Believe God. Watch this. And I'll step out there in a minute. Yeah. And not only me, there's countless others of Christians out there. Why? Because we have a confidence in God. He's going to do everything he said he was going to do. And then some. He's going to go far beyond all we can ask or think according to the power that's working in me. All I have to do is get that power out. How do I do it? I move. I get to doing something and that power starts to work in my life. And next thing you know, there's miracles happening. There's signs and wonders all over the place. Now my life is really, really, really cool. Why? Because of him. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all because of him. He's done made a plan. He's done made a way. All he needs is somebody to move and walk on the water and take the steps and take the step and take the step. It's all he's looking for. Somebody take a step. He wants somebody that can believe him. So much that they'll move. That's what he's looking for. The Bible says that whenever the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know. I know I'm going to be moving. Ain't going to let nothing stop me. Let nothing freeze me. I don't care. I'm going to go. It might just be me and Paul. We're going to roll, ain't we, Big Daddy? Yeah. They ain't, uh-uh. Yeah. They'll already be there. Amen. Amen. Whoa. Oh, I like this next one. This is a good one. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God, good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. It's what we call demon faith. Y'all have heard me talk about it before. You can have some demon faith. You believe something, don't move on it. Demons do the same thing. They believe God's real. There ain't one demon in hell that don't believe that God's real. Not a one of them. The devil himself believes that God's real. They just don't put their faith and mix it with it to where his righteousness can step into them. Where his righteous act, where his salvation can be imputed unto them, they can't have it because they will not mix faith with it. Demon faith. It's dead. It doesn't do nothing. It doesn't act. It just sits. It believes something, but it just sits. It just sits. Verse 20. Paul's like, get off of that, man. They're going to all get up and leave. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? He's saying it again. Is there another one I got up there, 21? Or is it just 20? Abraham, our ancestor. Look, Abraham, he was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. He actually moved on what God told him to do. God told him to kill his son. Okay. And he did it. Not only did he believe that God was a rewarder, but he knew that God, if he was going to kill his son, God had already told him that his descendants would be like the stars of the sky, that his descendants would be like the sand that's on the beach. He knew that God would replace him or bring him back to life or something. He just knew that he trusted God. God said that I will have descendants like the stars of the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. All right, I'm going to do it. Verse 22. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things that he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what? He did. You want to get your faith to perfection? You want to get your faith to where it's matured? You want to get your faith to a place where it's actually manifested in front of you? You do that by making what he tells you to do present by doing it. It's so hard to get that one out. Almost had to get a spoon and dig it out. Verse 23. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says Abraham believed God and God accepted Abraham's faith and that faith made him right with God and Abraham was called God's friend. Verse 24. My Lord, so you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. Verse 25, this is some good stuff. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute. Man, how many of y'all know them? Who was made right by God with something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. She just moved on what she believed. Verse 26, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. We are a do-something church. This church is a church where we're supposed to move. We're supposed to do something. Sign up on a sheet. Go get busy doing something. We don't care what you do. Just get after it. Because as soon as you begin moving, you can't steer a parked car. You can't do anything with any object that's just sitting. It has to begin to move so you can do something with it. It has to have some sort of action. It has to participate in something that's taking place for that thing to find its place in life. So many people looking for who I need to find my place. I need to know who I am. I just don't know who I am. I just don't know. And we go home and we watch Netflix trying to find who we are by watching Yellowstone or Ozark or something. Breaking Bad, maybe I could be like him. He's got lots of money. Let me just go cook some meth. I just don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to go home and eat a Twinkie. Let me get on Facebook. Let me see if I can find somebody else who's doing something. Oh, I should have done that. I mean, come on, guys. We say we believe these things that God says, and we say that we believe the Word. The question is are we acting upon what the Word says? Let me ask you a question. Here we go. How many of you believe that if you lay hands on somebody sick, don't raise your hands, because I don't want nobody feeling out of place. That how many of y'all truly believe that if you lay hands on somebody that's sick, they'll get better? Now think about this. Don't answer it. I don't want to see no hands. But those of you that do believe that 100%, when was the last time you laid hands on somebody that was sick in the name of Jesus? See, with that faith without. How many of y'all truly believe, here's a good one, truly believe that any sinner, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will be born again, and a mansion will be made up in heaven, and that they'll make heaven their home permanently forever and ever. You could raise your hand on that one. If you believe that one, do we believe that? Yes, most of us do. When was the last time you told somebody that? That was that sinner, that person that looks like you ought not be talking to them because they're all burled up and they got whatever and they got this look on their face like, leave me alone. The reason why they're doing that is because they got a big hole in the big middle of them. They need what you have. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works where? In us. It's in us. We got to get it out of us. Oh, man, this thing is about to go out of power. I've been charging it since 8 o'clock this morning. Yeah. Get Michael to get me one. Won't you, Michael? Will you do that for me? Amen. Will you pay for it? Oh, he said, yeah. Get the expensive one then. Yeah, get two. Ginger needs one too. Yeah. In fact, get four. Each pastor needs a new iPad thingy. No Apple products, please. I don't do Apple. Don't. Apple, yeah. Apple is a fruit, not technology. Oh. Where are we going to go with this, huh? Where are we going now? Nobody knows. All right, James chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to skip all that, Melissa. All of it. Skip it. Melissa just skipped about this much in notes. Just skip it. James chapter 1, verse 21, if you would, please, ma'am. Wow, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. One of my favorite scriptures ever. Why? Because this is written to believers. This is not written to non-believers. This is written to people that are supposed to receive the word all the time so that it will save your soul. Every day you got to have some word. If you don't, your soul ain't getting saved. Your spirit's fine. You're going to go to heaven when you die, but the soul, the way you think, the way you feel, the way that you talk every day has to be saved. That soul has to be brought up to the level where the spirit is on a regular basis. And to do that, we have to receive with meekness, which is being teachable, the engrafted or implanted word of God. That word of God has to be received on the inside of us to make our minds straight. If you don't, you ain't gonna think right. And if you don't think right, you ain't gonna act right. Bad thinking leads to bad acting. Therefore, lay aside all that filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Meekness does, I said it before, teachable. You don't know everything, and neither do I. So don't go up in the Word of God acting like you know it all. Just go up in there expecting to receive something from God. He'll show you something. Meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, let's move on. I can't stay there all day. But be what? Doers of what? Yeah, and not hearers only, because why? Whenever you just hear it and don't act on it, what have you done? You deceived yourself. You think that you're there and you ain't moved at all. That's what it'll do to you. The enemy will, he don't care if you read your word, and he don't care if you believe it. He just don't want you to do nothing with it. Because the minute that you move, now faith is in action. We're pleasing to God and the power becomes available so that we can move mountains, change the world, change people's lives, walk on water. But as long as you just sit still and just listen to it and believe it, you have deceived yourself into believing that something's happening and ain't nothing moving. Verse 23. Look at this. If any person is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. I got a haircut yesterday. Can you tell? And I looked at my hair this morning and I put the sticky stuff on there so the sides don't poof out. My sides poof out. And so I got to put some sticky stuff on there to keep the sides in place and in line. Now you might think that I go ahead and shave it all the way down like Rocky. Zip, just do it. High, tight, and all that. That don't work neither because my head's lopsided. This side does this. My skull does this. This side does this. So when you look at me and I got all my hair cut off, it's poochy over here and flat over here. I can't do that. So we got to leave some so we could cover up the crooked head I got. With me? But I observed myself. I looked at myself in the mirror before I left. I don't know what I look like right now because I done forgot. Do you remember what you look like? Okay, I done forgot. I can't remember what it looked like. I don't know where my hair is right now. It might be all over. I don't know. Is the sticky holding? Good deal. Verse 24. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. You can't just look blushing, shy little, hey, how do I look? I'm okay, and go on and expect to remember. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If you take a look at this thing, to continue in the word, let's stay on this one right here. But the scripture before talked about somebody that just did, anybody got a mirror in here? Let me get that mirror there, Serena. Serena got a mirror. That girl's on the internet doing some make. If you want to know how to do your makeup, find her. So the mirror thing is just a real quick, the first one, go back to 24, if you would, please, Melissa. You're a blessing. For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. That's a person that just kind of does this. Yeah, look, all right. Thank you. All right now, I'm forgetting where my hair was because I just kind of glanced. Y'all see that? I didn't look hard. Let me head back. See, this is a glance. That's a glance. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what that scripture is talking about. He that looketh, that first looketh is a glance. It's like that. Here, you keep it, and I'm not going to ask for it back. The second one means to, go to verse 25. He who looks, that looks, into the perfect law of liberty, that word actually means to bend over and peer into. Like you're looking at a whale, okay? It means to look, to dive in, so to speak, to bend yourself. The Bible says that you can delight yourself in the Lord. Y'all remember that? Delight yourself in the Lord. And I think it says it give you desires of your heart. Is that right? Delight, the word delight means bendable. Like clay. Clay is bendable. It's delight. It delights in my hands because I can bend it the way I need it to go. When I looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I am bending myself into what that law is requiring of me to do. And I become clay that can be molded into what he needs me to be. Y'all didn't get that one. It hit somewhere back there next to the exit sign and just kind of poofed off. If you listen to it again, you might get it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Oh my. A 100% born again Christian that delights and bends themselves into God's word and continues in God's word becomes so powerful because of the consistency that manifests by staying and doing what the Word tells you to do all the time. You want to see God do miraculous things, not only in your life, but more specifically in the lives of others. You want to see this city and town to change. You want to see state of Louisiana to change. You want to see some stuff really start to take place. Continue in that Word. Consistency begins to happen. James chapter 1, I didn't tell you to go there, but go to James chapter 1, verse 1. Am I still in James 1? I'm still in James 1, but just back up. You continue in it. You're steady in it. There's no wavering on it. The Bible even tells us that any man that wavers, allows the waves and the wind and all the stuff is going on, lying, make them be this way today and this way tomorrow and this way 5 minutes ago, this way and that and all that. That's a double-minded man, and he can't expect to get anything from God because his mind is split up. He can't decide which direction he wants to go. Not me needing to make a decision. Start in verse 2, if you would, Miss Melissa. Look at this, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations, knowing, verse 3, knowing that the trying or the testing of your faith produces patience. But, verse 4, let patience have its perfect work in you that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word patient does not mean sitting around and waiting. It means to be consistent in what you are doing. If you go to Walmart, I've said it before, and you get in the line in Walmart, and it's taken forever because grandma got to write her check, and God bless her, you write your check, woman, I love you. But I get tired of waiting on you, so I'm going to move over to this line, and next thing you know, that line starts moving. So you're like, this line stops, so I'm going to move over here to this line because it's moving now. Then that line starts moving, and this one stops. Y'all ever been there before? Okay, why is it that I can't move forward? Because I'm not consistent. I just won't stay where I'm at. I won't be consistent. I got to keep switching over where I'm going to go, and I'm going to be in this line, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this over here. If we would just live a life of consistency, if we will find the track which God wants us to be on, peer into the Word of God and begin to continue therein, now we're going to find consistency, and now there's power. Because now there's forward movement. There's forward movement. There's faith involved with it. Now the impossible becomes possible. Now the mountains begin to move. Now everything changes. Everything. Consistency. Tony Robbins. I'm going to read you some quotes. Tony Robbins. In essence, if we want to direct our lives, we must take control of our consistent actions. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives, but what we do consistently. That's Tony Robbins. He's like a motivational guy. Got a real big head and some big teeth. He does. He's got the biggest teeth I've ever seen. Just this big old head. He's just like all head. And when he smiles, then he's all teeth. You know, it's whoa. I think he was on Shallow Hal, wasn't he? Yeah. Remember, he was in like an elevator or something. Big old head. Big old chin. You know, he's got one of them chins that'll knock you out whenever he turns. And then he smiles and his teeth, dang, and they're all white and straight. This is from Bill Rogers. Bill Rogers was a marathon runner. At one time, he held the championship of the three major marathons in the world. This dude was, he set the record for, I think, the New York Marathon, the Manhattan Marathon, and then there's another one for a city that I couldn't say. Set the record on those guys. To be a consistent winner means preparing not just one day, one month, or even one year, but for an entire lifetime. St. Francis of Assisi, start doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. It's one of my favorites. Oh, this one, Walt Disney, and then I'll shut up. Because Disney's cool, right? Everybody knows who Walt Disney is, right? Mickey Mouse. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. Just quit talking about it, do it. Quit telling me what the Lord told you to do and go do it. Quit asking me what you're supposed to do. Just go do something. Move. 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 And you'll begin to walk on water. You'll see miracles happen. You'll see stuff take place that you've never seen before in your life, and God will continue to amaze and to amaze and to amaze and to amaze. And you'll live a life. You'll look back upon your life, a life of doing. You'll look back upon your life and you'll go, wow, let me have some more, Lord. And as you draw your last breath and step over into the spirit realm and you see Jesus standing there, he puts his hand out and says, come on. You've been good. You've been faithful. You did it. Let's go ahead and finish this course out. And you cross that line. Finish that race. Make it. Completed. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The most wealthiest place in the world right now is the graveyard. There are inventions that were never made, books that were never written, sermons that were never preached, people that were never saved that should have been because of the mouth that's in there now, that's in the grave. We should die empty, completed, done. Don't waste this life. Don't waste this time. Begin to move and do something for God and watch Him change the world with you. Amen. Will y'all pray that? Play my little, I'm going to play a little thing. No, it ain't Rocky. I'm going to play a little thing and then y'all can go. If you need some prayer, I'll pray for you, lay hands on you. You're probably going to fall down today because I'm like really under the anointing. You probably hit the ground. So if you want prayer, you'll come on up. But I want y'all to see this deal. It's a song. Y'all go ahead and start it. It's a song that I didn't know there was. I didn't know there was a song like this. I don't listen to K-Love.